This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala al-mawuthi rahmatin lil alameen, nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim wa mabad. Al-yawm 12 من شهر ذو القعدة 1445 الموافق ل 21 من شهر مايو 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا زلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So last week we talked lastly about the hadith of Salama ibn al-Aqwa, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says that there was a man who was eating food and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him to use his right hand. The man was eating with the left, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Kul bi yaminik." Qala la astati'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to eat with his right hand, so he claimed that he can't do that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "May you not be able to use that hand." And the man was not able to raise up his hand, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Nothing is stopping him from doing this except arrogance." So we learn from this that using the right hand when eating food is wajib. It's wrong for a person to eat with the left. And that's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the last hadith we discussed last week. So today inshallah we'll move on to the next topic, which is an-nahyu anil qirani mimman an-nahyu anil qirani نهى القرآن بين تمرتين. The eyes couldn't see. النهي عن القرآن بين تمرتين ونحوهما إذا أكل جماعة إلا بإذن رفقته. So this is the topic that discusses the نهي of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم for قرآن. قرآن means combining between two tamar. You have pieces of dates. Instead of eating one after the other, you combine two. If you are alone, go ahead. If you have big mouth, then you can. Yeah, it's not good for you to go for that. But if you are with people, then it is not good for you to combine two at once, unless if you are to ask permission from the rest. Ibn Abdul Qawi says, وَيُكْرَهُ فِي التَّمْرِ الْقِرَانُ وَنَحْوُ. It is makruh for a person to do qiran in eating tamar or anything that has the same nature, grapes, you know, tamar, anything that has pieces of it. So it is better for you to take one after the other. To take one after the other. If you are with people, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you should take permission of the rest, as we are going to see in the hadith, inshallah. قال وعن حذيفة ابن اليمان قال وعن جبلة ابن سحيم قال أصابنا عام عام سنة مع الزبير مع ابن الزبير فرزقنا تمرا وكان عبد الله بن عمر يمر بنا ونحن نأكل فيقول لا تقارنوا فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن القران ثم يقول إلا أن يستأذن الرجل أخاه. جبلة ابن سحيم said, I remember a time when we are affected by drought. There's a sana, the famine. He says, we have no food. Qala, and that was the time of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Faruzukna tamran. He said, Alhamdulillah, we got some pieces of tamar. Wakana Abdullah ibn Umar. So that was the time of Abdullah ibn Zubayr. You remember the time when he took over Makkah during the time of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. That was one of, you know, the sad moment in the history of Islam. Yeah, he took over Makkah against the government in those days, and the companions who were with him, they reminded him and they begged him not to go against his leader. But he has his own ijtihad. He was a companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the rest of the companions were older than him. They warned him so much. And subhanAllah, it did not go well. At the end of the day, they managed to kill him and throw manjaniq on the Kaaba, Baytullah al-Haram, and they killed him and also crucified him for a few days, until the time Abdullah ibn Umar came and talked to the authority indirectly. That was the time they decided to remove him from that place and take him to the graveyard. This is what Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always advise and command people to listen and obey. He says, wasam wata. He says, I command you to listen and obey. That's better, you know, to preserve the unity of the Muslimin. You might be seeing things which you don't like. This is who we are. In every circumstances who we are. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he knows about this, but he says, listen and obey. And Anas ibn Malik, when they complain against Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he used to tell them, isbiru, be patient. He used to always complain to him. He used to tell them, be patient. Because I heard the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, la ya'ti zamanun illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu. There will be no time except that the one that will come after it is worse. He says, I heard this from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr, during his time, they were affected by this drought, lack of food. So they got tamar, alhamdulillah. And Abdullah ibn Zubayr, Abdullah ibn Umar, kana yamurru bihim. Qala kana yamurru bina wa nahnu na'kulu fayaqul la tuqarinu. Because we have only few tamarat, so he used to pass through the people who are eating tamar. He tell them, la tuqarinu, eat one after the other, and eat slowly. Don't combine two at once. He says, فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَهَى عَنِ الْقِرَانِ. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made it prohibited for a person to combine between two tamar when eating with others. ثم يقول إلا أن يستأذن الرجل أخاه. And then he will say, except when you take permission from those who are eating with you. Except when you take permission from those who are eating with you. So we learn from this that the best is a person not to do it at the first place, you know, because we are supposed to cooperate. You know, if we are suffering from lack of food and then we got the food, but if some are taking more than the others, then there must be some people who are not going to have a portion of that food. So rather than eating too much, let some other people also come and join. And subhanAllah, the more you have people joining the food, the more barakah you have in that food. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ta'amul wahid yakfithni." The food that one person, you know, prepared for himself, that could suffice two people. Especially in Islam, al-mu'min ya'kulu fi mi'an wahid. You know, a Muslim is eating with how many stomach? One. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kafir ya'kulu fi sab'ati am'a. When somebody complained that before Islam he used to eat a lot and he is not full, but after Islam he eat a little, but then that would be okay. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, because Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in his life, the stomach is not that big. Little amount of food could suffice. You know, that's why you see also this barakah, subhanAllah, a British war. And if you pay attention to what you eat at home, it has more barakah than what you buy in outside. It has more barakah than what you buy outside. Because sometimes your wife cook, if you, taste the food, it's much better than what you get outside. But then since outside is outside food, sometimes we have more interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good.
قال باب ما يقوله ويفعله من يأكل ولا يشبع.
The person who eats and doesn't get full. What does he say? What is he supposed to say when eating food? You eat, you don't get full. By the way, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua against or for. If you look at other hadith, then you say this is for him. If you look at the literal, meaning of that hadith, the physical appearance of that hadith, you say this is against him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked somebody to go and call him. He was eating food. He was about to finish. That's Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. He was about to finish. So the boy told him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yunadik. He said, please tell him only a few spoons left. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the boy told him, he sent him back again. He said, I'm coming now. I just want to finish this once and then come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La ashba Allahu batnahu." Say me, Allah will not make him full from food. You get it? The scholars, when they come, they talk about this companion. They put this hadith among the virtues of this companion. You get it? Is it against or for? If you look at it, you say, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going against him. He's making dua against. However, they look into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because these type of situations and circumstances take place in his life, because he's human. There was a time during the Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let's move," and they told him so and so and so among his wife, nufisat. Meaning Hayd came to him. The Prophet ﷺ said, Aqra halqa habisatunahi. Aqra, scholars said this is dua against a person that calamity, you are asking Allah to send calamity to this person, calamity that will make a person bold. And this is his wife, and he said like this. So they told him, but she already made the offer alifala. He said, okay then, let's move. They left. If Allah accepts this dua, she is in trouble. If Allah accepts the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against Muawiyah, he will be in trouble. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows that sometimes this happens. So he said, Ya Allah, I act as human being. Sometimes I get angry. Ya Allah, whoever I say something which he doesn't deserve, he doesn't deserve it, Ya Allah, convert that word of mine as a blessing and a favor for him. So that one that he says, Aqra halqa, this is converted bi-idhnillahi ta'ala by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for her as a blessing for her. That's why we never told that she got musibah that caused her to lose her hair. You get it? We never told that Muawiyah get into trouble in his life because of this dua. And that's why when they come sometimes, you might find the scholars putting these type of hadith under the virtue of a person. You get it? So mentioning this topic reminds me about the case of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the righteous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the most hated by one of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who curse the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, you see, The scholar said, Muawiyah, all of those criticism, you have to keep them aside. Against him, you have to keep them aside. One of them said, if you are to see Muawiyah in his leadership, you might think that this is the Mahdi al-Muntadhar that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come. Subhanallah. And it is enough for him to be a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a family member of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brother-in-law, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is married to his sister, Ummu Umm Habiba, right? Bint Abi Sufyan. And also, not only that, one of those who are writing wahi for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What else you need? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, very beautiful dua. That's why somebody says, I never saw Umar ibn Abdul Aziz beat somebody except somebody who favored him over Muawiyah. Somebody told him, you are better than Muawiyah. So that was the first person I saw Umar ibn Abdul Aziz beat. And subhanAllah, to cut the story short, one of our predecessors said, and this is what we believe in. This is our aqidah, that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they crossed the bridge. Nobody is allowed to touch them. It's a red line, you know, crossing their boundaries to touch the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can't be accepted by Allah unless if you make dua for them. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those who came after the companions, the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and they always say, Ya Allah, forgive us and our brothers who preceded us with Iman. Who are these brothers of ours? Companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The poet says, فَكُلُّ مَنْ صَاحَبَهُ الرَّسُولُ حَازُوا بِهِ الْفَضْلَ فَهُمْ عُدُولُ. Anyone who happens to be a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they got all the virtues and they are all trustworthy. They crossed the bridge. One of the poets says, وَلَيْسَ فِي الْأُمَّةِ كَالصَّحَابَةِ فِي الْفَضْلِ وَالْإِنصَافِ وَالْإِصَابَةِ. There is nobody in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is better than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of virtue, wal-insaf, justice, wal-isaba, and being correct and accurate in whatever they say. So this scholar of ours, he said, Ghubarun, he was asked, who is better, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz or Muawiyah? He said, what are you talking about? Ghubarun dakhala fi anfi Muawiyah ma'a Rasulillah afdalu min amali Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. SubhanAllah. He said, one piece of dust that went into the nose of Muawiyah when he was fighting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against the enemies of Islam is far greater than all of the deeds of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. You know who is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? He says, one piece of dust that went into the nose of Muawiyah together with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greater than the deeds of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. If you want to understand this and believe in what he says, look at this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he says, la tasubbu ashabi, do not curse my companions. And he was talking to whom? He was talking to who? He was talking to Khalid bin Walid. When he talked in a bad way against Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Khalid bin Walid, was he a companion? Yes. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, was he a companion? Yes. When did Khalid ibn Walid accept Islam? Before Fathu Makkah, right? After almost all the battles, before Fathu Makkah, he accepted Islam. When did Abdurrahman ibn Auf accept Islam? Most likely second day, because Abu Bakr invited him. Among those four people, Abdurrahman ibn Auf is one of them. These are the people that Islam, you know, da'wah of the Prophet ﷺ started with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يستوي منكم من أنفق من قبل الفتح وقاتل. There is no way for, you know, you to compare between the person who used to spend before Fathu Makkah and fought with the Prophet ﷺ before Fathu Makkah. They can never be equal to those who accepted Islam after Fathu Makkah. But both of them are good in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but when it comes to virtues, they cannot be equal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard what Khalid was saying against Abdurrahman bin Auf, he got very angry with him. He said, do not curse my companions. He said, wallah, if one of you, لو أنفق أحدكم, مثل جبل جبل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيب. If one of you is to spend an amount that is similar to the amount of Uhud, of gold, ذهبًا مثل جبل أحد ذهبًا, you have a gold which is equivalent to the size of the amount of Uhud, and you're spending it for the sake of Allah, and a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is just spending one hand of wheat, his is more valuable than yours. Umar ibn Abdulaziz, did he spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes. But he's spending from whose wealth? From the Bayt al-Mal. He was just a just ruler. Umar ibn Abdulaziz doesn't have money for himself. Do you get it? Even if he spent from his own pocket money, he would never reach one mud of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should understand that the moment we start criticizing the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wallahi we lost. There is no good in a ummah, in a nation that touches the companions of the Prophet. No good to them at all. If you're to ask a Christian who is the best, regardless of the nature of their religion, they will tell you the disciples of Isa. Those are the red lines. If you ask the Jew, the disciples of Musa. The disciples of the Prophet Allah, they're the best disciples have ever been connected to a prophet. Nobody is better than them. So they deserve our respect. The least we can say is radiallahu anhu whenever we mention their names. Radiallahu anhu Muawiyah wa baqiyat ashabi an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala wa ana wahshiy ibn harb anna ashab rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qalu ya rasulullah inna na'kul wa la nashba. Qala fala'allakum taftariquna. Qalu na'am. Qala fajtami'u ala ta'amikum wa dhkuru ismallahi yubarak lakum fihi. Wahshi, you remember Wahshi, right? Who was Wahshi? Qatil Hamza, the one who killed Hamza. And subhanAllah, he couldn't forget this. And did he accept Islam? That's why he's narrating hadith, right? Yeah. So he accepted Islam. But I'm saying this because there are some people, and I don't know whether they are the one who are distributing Islam and rejected whoever they want, you know. But they say Wahshi did not accept Islam because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected his Islam. Question: is it even permissible for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to reject the Islam of somebody? I mean, what is his job to invite people to Islam? Somebody comes to him, he said, "I want to accept Islam," and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "No. This religion of Allah, whose religion is that? Allah Rabbul Alamin." The job of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the scholars is to invite people to Islam. No matter how much bad is a person, at any moment if he comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah accept him. Yeah, Allah invited people who are cursing him. Those who said Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yashtimun ibn Adam. The son of Adam is cursing me. But still these ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Why can't they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek His forgiveness? So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited everyone to stop what they're doing which is wrong and accept Islam and come back to the truth. We have no right to say that, oh, this one can come to Islam and this one doesn't have a right to come to Islam. Who are we? This religion is the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why there was a crime against Rasulullah to say that there was somebody who came and the Prophet ﷺ said, I would not give you Islam. It never happened. It happened with Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh, one of those 9 people that the Prophet ﷺ said, wherever you find them, you kill them. Even if you find them holding upon the Astarul Kaaba. Abdullah ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Sarh, when he came, when he met Uthman radiallahu anhu, he's one of those ones. And his problem was a very big problem because he used to be a Muslim
and then he committed apostasy, went back to Makkah. You know, not only apostasy, but he went to Makkah and he told people, whatever you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying is false. Because you're going to read it in the book, right? He said, I'm the one who is writing that. And if he tells me Tawheed, I write Shirk. Because he doesn't know how to read, how to write. So when he says Tawheed, I write Shirk. When he says white, I write black. When he says blue, I write green. When he says one, I write two. So whatever you see there is false. And he was lying. Because when he was Muslim, he was writing the Wahy, he was honest. If he wrote something that is not part of the Quran, trust me, Aqsimu Billah, Allah will inform the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is inserted by Surah. Because Allah says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna al-dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidh." No way for him to do that. But then when he accept kufr, you know, then he is saying whatever he wants to say. So he used to tell whatever he wants to say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, put him among the wanted ones. When Uthman met him, Uthman told him, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the believers, wherever they find you, they can take care of you. Even if you're holding upon that sarun cow. He said, what to do? He said, the only way out, just go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accept Islam. You know Islam is the truth. You have no doubt in this. Don't be arrogant, just go and accept. So he went with Uthman as a protection for him. When he reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ya Rasulullah, this is Abdullah. He wants to accept Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away from him. He says, ya Rasulullah, this is Abdullah, he wants to accept Islam. He turned away from him. Three times it happened. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him Islam, he accepted Islam. After he left, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, amma fikum bi rajulin rashid. He said, wasn't it among you somebody who is so smart to understand what I meant when I turned like this? Because he did not accept Islam yet, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why can't one of you just take his sword and get him? They said, ya Rasulullah, ma nadri madha fi nafsik. Ya Rasulullah, we don't know what is in your heart. You're supposed to give us signal like this. If you give us a sign, then we will take care of him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, la yanbaghi li nabiyyin an takuna lahu khainatul a'yun. It is not appropriate for a prophet to have this kind of eye of deception. Subhanallah. These are the principles, the law concerning the prophets, they can do that. Somebody else can do it, but a prophet cannot do that. But to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody comes to accept Islam and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell him Islam is not for you, come on. What is the meaning of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have sent you as a mercy for everyone? And then those who are committing shirk, what hope they have? What hope they have? So Wahshi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, together with the group of people who came from Ta'if to accept Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him. They accepted Islam. You know, all of them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw him. He said, "Anta Wahshi? Are you Wahshi?" He said, "Yes." Subhanallah. He remembered that pain when he killed Hamza, his uncle. He said, "Are you Wahshi?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Please, is it possible for you to just hide your face so that I will not see you?" He said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." He said he hid himself from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He never let the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam see him until the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. That's exactly what happened. So he has been carrying this heavy load on his head that he killed Hamza, looking for a way to do some kafara. Up to the moment he hears that the Muslims are going to fight Musaylimah to the Kadhab, he sees this as an opportunity to go and do something. SubhanAllah. And he was the one who got rid of Musaylimah to the Kadhab. He said by the time he shot him with the spear, he feels as if he was carrying a heavy mountain, and now the mountain has been brought down from his head. So he was looking at this as having he did, this is the kafara of what he did. But the Prophet ﷺ said at the first place, Al-Islamu yujibbu ma qablahu. Islam erases whatever happens before. Whatever a person did, as long as he accepts Islam, anything that is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be cancelled. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and be with us wherever we are. Inshallah, I will give the commentary of this hadith in the next class, because I believe only 1 minute left, right?
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، أما بعد. Okay, there is a question about how a sister should pray in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An-nisa'u shaqa'iqur rijal." Sisters are the full sibling of the brothers. In the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to teach them how to pray. They both together in the Masjid, and he used to tell them, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." Ibrahim al-Nakhai used to say that both are supposed to pray according to the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray. And this has been detailed by the fuqaha. Everything you need to know about the way the Prophet ﷺ used to pray has been detailed by the fuqaha. In every madhab, you go, you see with evidence how the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. So this is how the sisters also are supposed to be praying, inshallah. And there is another interesting question who says, what should I favor the most, right? Preparing for the akhirah, or getting busy with my dunya because Jannah is very expensive? What should I tell them? Maintain balance between both, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the dunya for our own benefit. Get it? But we should serve the akhirah more than the way we're serving the dunya. You should convert your dunya into an act of worship. Meaning, my business, I do the halal business. My relationship with others, I do it correctly. I eat food, I eat halal. Whatever I do what Allah SWT wants me to do. Although it is not directly connected to ibadah in the masajid, you get it? Or ibadah, you know, restricted definition, but it's still an act of worship if I have good intention and I do it correctly. Because what is ibadah? Fi'lu. كل ما يحبه الله ويرضاه من الأقوال والأفعال. Doing anything that Allah loves and He is pleased with it. When you eat halal, does Allah love that? Yes. When you marry, Allah loves that. You know, anything that Allah loves and He is happy with you to do it in the way you are doing it is an act of worship. That's why that statement of that person who says Jannah is very expensive, is it right? No, it's not. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-jannah aqrab ila shiraki na'li ahadikum wa an-naru kadhalik." Jannah is closer to you than your shoelace. And hell also is like that. Somebody was walking on the street. You get it? And he found, you know, there was a woman also who was traveling, and she saw a dog that was thirsty. She fed the dog. This is a dog, right? She fed the dog. Fashakkara Allahu laha. Allah appreciate what she did and take her to Jannah. وَغَفَرَ لَهَا. This is Rabbul Alameen. She got Jannah because of this. And somebody was walking on the street and he found something that is harmful to the people who are walking on the street. He just removed that thing and put it aside so that people will not get harmed. Allah forgave him. He also got paradise because of this. Somebody was reading قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدَ at the end of every rak'ah in his prayer. He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah loved him because of this. Then Abbash, who went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after committing big sin, thinking that Allah have no power over him if they burned him and put his ashes in the sea and the air, Allah brought him back. Allah asked him, why did you do that? He says, Ya Allah, because of my strong fear of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, since you are afraid of me, I forgive all of your sins. Iwallah, the door is open for everyone if you want. This religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very simple, but we just make it difficult. Therefore, I really advise that person who is asking about this question to study the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do what he did. It is simple and easy. Very simple and easy. And inshallah, you will never be disappointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as you did the correct thing. But that thought of yours, that Jannah is very expensive, you know, and therefore you should go for the dunya, is wrong thought. Have a good expectation about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Check and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Just get busy with that one. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, you will never regret. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.